Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Daniel White the Third with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, number 172, where I read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary, or the Matthew Henry Commentary, or the Holman Concise Bible Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah 8:8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading of the Word of God. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and the giving of the sense of it, the understanding of it, the church would be revived and the world would be awakened. Dear friends, today we are reading Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. And for the past few days, we have read only one or two verses because the information is so thick regarding these verses and so important for regarding our future. And so that's why we're doing that. The Bible reads, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Ladies and gentlemen, I just read in your hearing Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Now here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding of it. The Bible Knowledge Commentary goes on to say, the 62 sevens, 434 years, extend up to the introduction of the Messiah to the nation Israel. This second period concluded on the day of the triumphal entry just before Christ was cut off, that is, crucified. In his triumphal entry, Christ, in fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, officially presented himself to the nation of Israel as the Messiah. He was evidently familiar with Daniel's prophecy when on that occasion he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Thus, the first two segments of the important time period, the seven sevens, 49 years, and the 62 sevens, 434 years ran consecutively with no time between them. They totaled 483 years and extended from March the 5th, 444 BC to March 30th, AD 33. According to Daniel 9:26, the Anointed One was not cut off in the 70th year. In the 70th, he was, allow me to repeat that. According to Daniel 9:26, the Anointed One was not cut off in the 70th seven. He was cut off after the 7 and 62 sevens had run their course. This means that there is an interval between the 69th and 70th sevens. Christ's crucifixion then was in that interval, right after his triumphal entry, which concluded the 69th seven. This interval was anticipated by Christ when he prophesied the establishing of the church. This necessitated the setting aside of the nation Israel for a season in order that his new program for the church might be instituted. Christ predicted the setting aside of the nation. The present church age is the interval between the 69th and 70th sevens. Amillenarians teach that Christ's first Advent ministry was in the 70th seven, that there was no interval between the 69th and 70th sevens, and that the six actions predicted in Daniel 9:24 are being fulfilled today in the church. This view, however, A, ignores the fact that verse 26 says, after the 62 sevens, not in the 70th seven. B, overlooks the fact that Christ's ministry on earth was 3 1/2 years in length, not seven. And C, ignores the fact that God's six actions pertain to Daniel's people, Israel, and his holy city, Jerusalem, not the church. When the Anointed One would be cut off, Daniel was told he would have nothing. The word translated cut off is used of executing the death penalty on a criminal. Thus, the prophecy clearly points to the crucifixion of Christ. At his crucifixion, he would have nothing in the sense that Israel had rejected him and the kingdom could not be instituted at that time. Therefore, he did not then receive the royal glory as the king on David's throne over Israel. John referred to this when he wrote, "He came to that which was his own, that is, the throne to which he had been appointed by the Father, but his own, that is, his own people, did not receive him." Daniel's prophecy then anticipated Christ's offer of himself to the nation Israel as her Messiah, the nation's rejection of him as Messiah, and his crucifixion. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand His Word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shalt be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death to these beautiful bodies, death to so many things before you die, death to marriages, death to relationships, death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately, you will die physically. Your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell." Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21, 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, and he said these words to you before he left here. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved." Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments. And so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, and but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back, and I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us. And we will continue to pray for you. God bless you. Until next time.
If you look at the hard left and how they treat law enforcement in the last 5 or 6